Ahojte priatelia, počúvate a pozeráte Chcem viac podcast. Moje meno je Martin Vigláš a veľmi sa teším, že dnes tu v našom štúdiu môžem privítať vzácnych hostí Šilo Ben-Hod a jeho manželka Sara Ben-Hod z hudobnej skupiny Zosolu z Izraela. A keďže budeme po anglicky rozprávať, chcem vás všetkých poprosiť, aby ste si teda zapli titulky, ak potrebujete. A ak nás počúvate na Spotify, tak sa rovno prepnite na YouTube a tam si tie titulky môžete zapnúť. Once again, hello, Sara and Shiloh. I'm really honored to have you here in our Chcem viac podcast. And I would like to introduce you a little bit for our listeners and viewers. I will say you are a married couple who is leading a music and worship band Zosolu. You are Messianic Jews living near Jerusalem. And you are the first time in Slovakia, right?
Yes.
Would you add something that's important and I didn't mention it?
Slovakia is beautiful.
Thank you.
We are enjoying our first time.
So nice.
Thank you.
Maybe one more thing. Yeah, Zosolu is, much of it is a musical group, but it's also a ministry center, and I think we will talk about it more later.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Okay, so let's start in the beginning. When I say Messianic Jew, there are many people here in Slovakia that don't understand. So what does it mean to be a Messianic Jew?
Messianic Jew is basically a follower of Yeshua, the Messiah. And we believe that 2,000 years ago, the first disciples, they were all Jews. And they were following Yeshua for the first few hundred years. They remained their identity as Jewish people. Mm-hmm. So we believe God made us Jewish. We were born Jewish for a reason. So there is no difference between Jew and Gentile now in terms of salvation, or male and female, but still there is male and female, and there is Jew and Gentile.
Yeah.
So we are different, and we do believe that God is calling us to preserve the Jewish identity and calling that He gave us as a people. Mm-hmm. So basically, the word Christian in Hebrew is very weighty. It has a lot of
history,
you know, bad history, actually. And if you say to someone you are Christian, it's like you betray, betray the people. And it's like you are with the wrong side. But as Messianic Jews, when we call ourselves that, maybe there is not much difference between Messianic Jews and Christians. We both believe in Yeshua Mashiach, God, the Holy Spirit. But we do choose to use the word Messianic Jew. And we also preserve the feasts that the Lord has made. You know, it never in the Bible it says, these are the feasts of Israel. It says, these are the feasts of the Lord. So anyone who calls the Lord his Lord, these feasts are also for him. So we do Shabbat, and we have circumcision, and we got married under chuppah, and we had bar mitzvah. So
yeah, thank you. And how can one become a Messianic Jew?
So many people, they are born Jewish, and the moment they become to know Yeshua as the Messiah, they follow him, and they become a Messianic Jew. Some Messianic Jew is a range, at least in Israel. You have Messianic Jews that actually look like Orthodox Jews. They have a yarmulke, kippah. They wear tzitzit. And the other side of the range is people who might even eat pork. You know, it's a range that people
choose to go.
Put themselves in that range. So basically, it's a broad term.
Yeah, I understand that. So how have you become Messianic Jews? Yeah, maybe you can start.
Yeah, so my parents, I grew up in a believing family. So my parents, they came to faith when they were both in their 20s after they had gotten married. And they just felt this urge to search for God. And they found him in a Baptist church, actually. And they raised us in a God-fearing home. And we all loved the Lord very much. And then later on in life, they found out they were Jews. So that also changed our lives in a huge way. We started observing the Shabbat, the holidays, and everything. And then they really felt a desire to go to Israel to visit. So they went and they fell in love with Israel. So yeah, so I guess they became Messianic Jews when I was a child, and I've been a Messianic Jew since then. So
yeah, and do you remember your you making decision to follow Christ?
Definitely, yeah. So I grew up loving the Lord from a child. Mm-hmm. And then mainly whenever I went to Israel, I was 12 years old and it was very hard. Didn't know the language, wasn't succeeding much in school because of the language. And I felt very far from the Lord. But thankfully, for very good friends, like my husband here, we were good friends.
We're still friends.
We're still friends, it's true. We were part of a house of prayer also, and obviously my parents, they encouraged me in my walk in the Lord, and actually kind of through our love story, I pursued the Lord first, and I set we really loved each other, but we set our relationship to a side to both seek the Lord, and I found him, and he was, I can say, my first love. So yeah, nice. That was when I was a teenager, so ever since then, I've been walking out my faith in that way.
That's great. What's your story about following Christ?
Yeah, Yeshua? So for me, I was also born in a Messianic family. My father came from England, from a believing family. Mm-hmm. But my mother came from a just traditional Jewish family. And she came to faith at age 17. But I was born already to a family of believers. My father is the pastor, is the congregation leader. So very good family, no complaints. but, you know, for me, the faith was something that is like another thing about my life. So there's many things about my life. One of them is I believe in Yeshua. I'm a Messianic Jew. And that meant like I will go to congregation, I will worship, I will pray. But, you know, it wasn't like the focus of my life. Mm-hmm. So basically, when I met my wife, or my friend, you know, she was she invited me in a youth. We met in a youth camp, and she said to me, "Hey, would you come to this house of prayer? I'm going there every week." So I said, "Okay, I will come." You know, pretty girl tells you come, and so you come, and we came, and that is the place where. This house of prayer was a place of worship and prayer 24/7. So every time we go there, the presence of God is really strong. And it really transforms you when you spend hours and hours, sometimes 10 hours a week, in the presence of God, you encounter him, you experience him. And if I can, so it was a process, but if I have to put my finger on a specific point, one of the leaders in that house of prayer had a message, and he was sharing about how Yeshua was telling there is the narrow way and there is a wide way, and the wide way goes to destruction, the narrow way leads to eternal life with Yeshua. And he was asking, who does Yeshua tell this parable to? Who is the audience? So I was thinking, the wide way is the world, narrow way is believers, Christians. But the guy said, no, like the people he's speaking to is his disciples, the people who go after him, follow him. Mm-hmm. That means both people in the wide way, in the narrow way, they both think they're on the way. The world is not even in the picture. The world is not on the way, not the wide way, not the narrow way. They're but both people in the wide way, in the narrow way, they think they're Christians. They think they follow Yeshua. They think they're on the way. But those are wrong and those are right. And then I was looking at my life, and I was thinking, my life is quite comfortable, you know? And like, I never had to give up anything to Yeshua. You know, in Israel, maybe we'll speak about it later, but in Israel, it's maybe better as a child or youth to hide your belief. I was hiding my belief, you know, because it's easier. So basically I realized I'm on the wide way, you know? I think I'm following Yeshua, but it's pretty comfortable, and there's no sacrifice, there's no difficult thing. So immediately I repented. I gave my life to Yeshua and I said, listen, I want to walk after you, Yeshua. I want to be in the narrow way, whatever the cost is. And so that decision led to later on my baptism at age about 16 and becoming more serious in the faith and seeking God and making the faith not just one thing about myself, but the thing, my life, my focus. Mm.
Yeah, that's powerful. Maybe you can share more about what does it mean to say you're following Christ in Israel? Because you said that you were trying to hide your faith before. And when that moment came, you were probably publicly speaking that I'm a follower of Jesus.
Yeah.
What did it cost you?
Following Yeshua is the same for everyone, same requirements, same way, but in different places it's more pricey or less pricey. And I would say in Israel, you know, more than 99% of the people, they don't believe in Yeshua. Hmm. And if you read the New Testament and see the Jewish people reject Yeshua, it's still the same. And as I said before, Christians in the history, in the eyes of the history of Jewish people, they did a lot of bad stuff to us, you know, like the Inquisition, the anti-Semitism that was moved by Christianity in the eyes of Jews, even the Holocaust, you know, the how do you call it, the Crusades and everything. That those things hurt the Jews a lot. And even still now, there are Christian voices who are, you know, against. So, in the eyes of the people, if you become a believer in Yeshua, this is a betrayal. This is like a very bad thing to do. So when I was growing up as a Messianic Jew in elementary school, if I will say I'm a believer, you know, like kids maybe will beat me up, kids will shun me, not be friends of me. So I only told one guy, you know, who was very close, you know, and was, I remember that day I was so scared, you know, but he was actually okay with that. But also as you move on and become, I was in a high school in a military school actually. And there I got the privilege of, we were three Messianic Jews in the same class, which is unheard of. It's, usually you have one in school. And we felt bold to share about the faith because we're free people, you know. So we would share the faith, and the students, some of the students will bring rabbis into the school during the breaks, you know, during the lunch break to confront us and to try to shame us. But we will be strong. And so these are the kind of things as a student, as a kid, but also later in life, when me and my wife wanted to get married. In Israel, you don't have civil marriage. You only have religious marriage. So if you want to get married, you need a rabbi. And we went to the rabbinical center of our city. And we started the process, had an interview, show all the documents. You need to show the documents you are Jewish. And everything was fine. But the interview was a lot about my father, you know. And because they knew my father is a public figure in the Messianic Jews. So they said...
they couldn't ask directly.
Yeah. So basically, I was in the army, actually. We got married young. I was 19, she was 18. And I was in the middle of my army service. So going to the base. And so basically, 1 week before our marriage, our wedding, the rabbi called me and said to me, I'm not going to marry you because you are Messianic Jew. And don't try to go somewhere else because no one will marry you. And I was telling him, my wedding is in a week. I already have invitation. I already have everything. He said, I don't care, you know. So basically, we had to find a way to get married. We flew to Cyprus.
No, well, the funny thing also was that he asked, Shiloh said, okay, so if you won't marry me, then I'll go to a priest. Because that's like another way you can
to
marry.
A Christian
priest. If you say that I'm Christian, then I'll go to a priest. He's like, no, you can't go to a priest because you're Jewish. I'm like, so you marry me? He's like, no, I won't marry you.
Yeah.
So there wasn't
no solution,
like
legal
way for you.
There's no legal way to get married in Israel. Yeah. So the only solution was to get married
abroad.
Civilly abroad. in Cyprus because that's half an hour away from Israel by flight. Mm-hmm. Get married in the same day and come back.
That's what we do.
And with the papers, like we are officially married in Cyprus. So then you can convert this marriage
certificate in Israel.
Certificate to Israeli.
Yeah.
So that those kind of things, you know, but also we, as believers, we had a few situations where we had a worship night and we had religious ultra-Orthodox people trying to break the door in and to cause problems. And we also had in the streets, one time we worshipped recently, a few months ago, and there was people gathering, shouting like, go back, we don't want you here. And so these kind of things. So it's more costlier, I think, to believe in Yeshua in Israel, but I don't want to over exaggerate it because it's not life threatening now, and it's minor things, you know. We can get married in Cyprus, we can, like,
yeah,
people in our region in the Middle East, they are being killed, they are being beheaded, they are being much worse. So yes, what we experience is so small for him. And everyone has to carry the cross, everyone has to pay the price. Sure. This is our price.
It's when I'm listening things like this, so I feel moved. Because I think here, actually in Slovakia, we enjoy freedom. I can tell anyone that I'm Christian and it doesn't cost me that much. Mm-hmm. Even that if you say it's not that much, it doesn't cost me even that.
Yeah.
So,
but let me share a few thoughts that, you know, the word in Hebrew sacrifice, it's called korban. Mm-hmm. And every word in Hebrew has a root. And the root of the word korban is karav, which means to draw close. So actually the root of the word sacrifice is to draw close. Mm-hmm. Whenever you sacrifice something for God, whether it's in the temple, you put an animal that you raise and, you know, or nowadays, you know.
Go to services, prayer meeting.
You face persecution or you step on the flesh, you know, whenever it's a costly thing. Because sometimes it's not costly. Sometimes you feel, I want to go to church, I want to lift my hands, it's fun. Then it doesn't cost you. Mm-hmm. But whenever it's like, no, I'm feeling tired, and then you go, or someone is conflicting us, and we see, then it's a sacrifice. And the result of true sacrifice is always drawing closer to God. So there is a blessing in the persecution. There is a very great blessing when it costs to you, you know. And if I can share a very short testimony of a friend, but because it's recent testimony, we filmed a music video that we released a week ago. it's the Hebrew version for praise, for elevation. And the wife told us this, the testimony on the same day, so that everyone was so happy. Everyone was so, basically, she's a Jewish person from, and she's been trying to make aliyah, which means immigration. She was trying to become Israeli for a while, and she did the army as a foreigner. She was not Israeli. She came to Israel, she did the army for 2 years, and then she started the process, having interviews with the government, with the, you know, the
committee.
And basically it came to the final interview after a few years, and her lawyer, the girl's lawyer, said to her, in this final interview they're gonna push real hard, they're gonna
until that point they hadn't asked her straight up if she was a Messianic Jew. Mm-hmm. They were trying to get her to say it, but the lawyer said they're going to ask you straight up this time.
So they also had questions about her father, because her father is also a leader.
Yeah.
So basically the lawyer told her, you should say you and your father are not so much in don't agree on everything, and like this, and like light lies, you know, like, not, you know. And she said, I don't think I can do that. Anyways, interview starts, and the woman who interviewed her straight up asked her, do you believe in Yeshua? And
as your Messiah.
And you have to understand, if she say yes, that's it. She done the army.
That's
for nothing.
Happens. Any person that wants,
like,
to come live in
that, we heard it over and over again. The whole time in the army doesn't count. You will not be Israeli. You will not come to Israel. Mm-hmm. So she had like a, I don't know, 20 seconds of silence, just like what I'm going to say now, you know, maybe kind of like what Peter was when they were confronting him. You were with these people. Yes. And she basically said, yes, I do. And whenever she said that, she started crying. She started like weeping. And the woman asked her, do you believe, some more, do you believe he's the son of God? And she said, yes. And she's crying. And do you believe he died for the sins? Like crazy, like basically confession of faith. She didn't, maybe she took it out of Wikipedia or something. But she was going through the whole thing and basically, and she felt, she told us later, there was so much joy. These were tears of joy because I'm confessing my love to Yeshua before men, before people who are persecuting me. And she said, there is no greater joy than what I experienced there. And she left the interview. Anyways, the interview woman told her, you know what it means that you said all of this. And she, and our friend said, I know, you know. And she left. Basically, they said, we are not going to give you citizenship. But 1 week ago, yeah. 1 week ago, she came to the filming and she said, today I got an answer that...
Three pages of why I don't deserve...
Three pages that you will not get citizenship. But in the end says, you are going to get residency and after 1 year, citizenship.
Wow.
So... That was like, I never had something like that happen, you know, and I think it's like they are giving someone citizenship knowing that she's a believer.
Wow.
Which is huge. And I think it's because she was not ashamed.
Sure.
She could have lied. She could have said,
her lawyer,
like Peter, you know, like say no. And then later, I'm sorry, you know, but no, she was faithful and she said, and God was faithful to her, you know. This is not my testimony,
yeah,
but it's a powerful testimony,
yeah,
and it's new. We just heard about it.
Yeah.
thank you very much for sharing this. I have many other questions, and I think we are going to another podcast, so I can ask just a few of them. But thank you for now, and we'll stop here.
Yes,
and I will speak in Slovak now. Priatelia, ďakujeme za to, že ste nás pozerali a počúvali až doteraz. Verím, že ste si tento rozhovor užili rovnako ako ja. Mojimi hostiami boli mesianskí židia z Izraela Shilo a Sara Ben-Hod. Odporúčam vám vypočuť si aj ďalšie podcasty. Budeme teda nahrávať nielen s nimi, ale aj s ich ďalšími priateľmi z hudobnej skupiny a z hnutia Solu. A samozrejme odporúčam vám do pozornosti aj ďalšie prednášky z konferencie o odpustení 70x7, na ktorej boli našimi hostiami priatelia zo Solu. Môžete a všetky tieto veci nájdete na stránke chcemviac.com alebo na YouTube alebo iných sociálnych a streamovacích platformách. A ak máte otázky, pripomienky, podnety na ďalšie podcasty, povzbudenia, budeme vďační, keď nám to všetko napíšete do komentárov. Ak sa vám naše podcasty páčia, nezabudnite dať palec hore alebo odber. Budeme za to veľmi vďační a šírte to medzi svojich priateľov. A možno premýšľate nad tým, že tiež chcete za Pánom Bohom ísť tak naplno a neviete, ako začať, tak vám chcem dať do pozornosti, že sa môžete pridať k odberateľom našich ranných zamyslení, ktoré každé ráno posielame e-mailami už na viac ako 2500 adries. Link nájdete tiež v popise tohto videa. Tešíme sa na stretnutie pri ďalších podcastoch. Ahojte.